feel my rapture, so shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. Near the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my rapture soul shall die, rest beyond the river.
Brother Adam, would you mind helping me this evening with the offering?
Let's sing, "I Want to Live," and then we're going to change over the service. Amen.
I want to live. He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till just no more love. I could never, ever outlove the Lord. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove the Lord.
Let's change over service. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see You. I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see You. I want to see You, to see You high and lifted up, shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power in love as we sing, holy, 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 high and shining in the light of Your glory. Pour out Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. I want to see You.
Amen. 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 I'm so glad He's with us all the time. and he wants to show himself to us. Amen. Every day is a new beginning. Amen. God bless you. I'm not going to sing right now. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. If you have your Bibles, look in the book of Job, chapter 23. And I say appreciate the weekend and all the hard work and all the sacrifices that was made, and had a really good time. I appreciate Brother Wade and Brother Andre and Brother Richard and everybody having the desire to have fellowship and get together, and I thought it was really wonderful. And looking forward to, Lord willing, time tarries, we get to do it again.
Amen.
And so I want to thank you. Like I said, Brother Wade and all the ones, that's a wonderful blessing. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to look into Job chapter 23, and we'll just begin at verse 1, and let's just all bow our heads and speak to the author before we get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, Lord, this opportunity to be in your house again. Lord, we thank you for all your blessings on us, and Lord, we just pray that you just come speak to us tonight. Lord, we've gathered and sung the songs of Zion, Lord Jesus, and Lord, you said whether two or three gathered in my name, I'd be there in the midst, and Lord, we know that you're here with us because you honor your word, and Lord, we just pray that you just have your will and way with us this evening, Lord Jesus, just touch us. Lord, just give us the words that we have need of, Lord, and Lord, we just look unto you for all things. Lord, there's many that have needs, Lord. You know that all the needs, every hand that was raised, and Lord, we just thank you, Lord. There's many needs, Lord, but we just thank you, Lord, because every day we look and we can see miracles taking place, Lord, healings taking place, Lord, people being delivered, and Lord, sometimes we don't think about that, we don't praise you enough, Lord, but Lord, we thank you for that, Lord, because if you can do it for one, Lord, you can do it for another. Lord, if we just continue to walk and have faith in you, Lord, our deliverance will come. Lord, we just commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Job chapter 23, we're going to begin at verse 1. It says, then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, he would put strength in me. Amen. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. Yep. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Amen. God bless you this evening. You can be seated. We'll take a little thought tonight and try not to be lengthy. But I want to take this little thought, God's way. And, you know, Jesus said in John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And the message, identification, Christ of all ages, Brother Ram says, a man, he knows he comes from the beyond and a dark shadowy curtain that hangs between him and where he was before. He comes here and he knows he must go behind that curtain. And he is always wanting to know where he come from and what he is and where he's going. He said, we have millions of volumes that's been wrote, I suppose, on the subject. But there is only one book, and that's 66 volumes in itself, that can tell you where you come from, who you are, where you're going, and that is this Bible. It's the word that tells you where you come from, who you are, and where you're going. And I just want to take a little thought and just look at a few things tonight. But, you know, God has given us his word to lead us. And, you know, when we realize that where we come from and, you know, as Brother Branham said, before God was God, you know, he was eternal. He was Elohim. You know, he dwelt alone with all of his attributes, and he had all this that he wanted to express. He wanted to express his word. And, you know, he began to condescend and began to express these things and said, let there be, and began to create all these things. Everything that he created that was in his mind, everything that came was created, and it was created in the way that he wanted it to come. Amen. Everything came in a divine order. Amen. And there was a process that he had, and he began to speak, and he had these great thoughts, and he began to lay all these things out. And he thought of you and I, and he knew that because we were a part of him. And Brother Bram said that's the reason that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, because we were in his thinking. We were a part of God. And so we were a part of that. He said that great master intelligence that began to set everything in a divine order, everything that came into existence is set in the right way. And there's, you know, when you look at Brother Bram was talking about the moon and the stars and the solar system, and you look at all the things that are in set in order, and you look at this, the vast solar systems and galaxies and everything, how everything works. And, you know, man has tried to build a clock and tried to come up with a way that they could keep time. And, you know, God set a solar system just by speaking it, because it was his thoughts. He set everything in motion. And even today we go back and look through history and we can see how the stars, the planets line up. We know when these things took place, what happened, all of these things. And it was just because God had all this in his plan. He set it all up, and we're still using that today because we can see how all these things take place and know what's going to come in the future because it works has such order to it that everything works exactly and nothing's out of cater and it all works the same. And, you know, it's amazing. And then we see these great, great men have great intelligence. They spend their life studying these things and looking through great telescopes and understanding all these things that are way over my head. But, you know, you think of all this and they look at all these things and say, there is no God. Yeah. There is no God. And, you know, Brother Bram said that a man walk over a blade of grass and not understand where it come from or how it came into being and all these things and not realize it was a creator that set all these things in motion and created us and set us where we are today and had all this thing and set up in a divine order. And everything works just the way God wants it to. There's nothing out of cater. But sometimes we realize that, you know, when God created man and he created man in his own image, when all of these things were set in order, and when he began to create all these things, when it come into that divine order, you know, God set you, as created Adam and Eve, set them in the garden and gave them dominion over the earth and all those things that he said, because he said, well, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. And he had dominion over over everything. He was able to speak and do what he wanted to with it because he had control of it. Amen. And God had given him this power, had done it because he was the Son of God. And he set all these things in motion for a reason, to express himself. And if we understand that God set all these things in motion and set from the beginning, everything came in a divine order, and we realize that it's still, the order is still there. God's still in control. As we were talking about last time, everything still works just the way God set it up. And because, you know, God didn't lose control of anything, and if he set anything in order and it set has power and this order has been started, then when, as Paul says here in Romans 8, you know, he says, who can separate us from the love of God? Because if God set this in order, and as we look through the scriptures here, he says, so tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword.
He said, "It is written, if for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter." He said, "Nay, in all things we are made more than conquerors through him that loved us." He said, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we realize that when God set all these things in motion, and he set everything in order, and he gave man dominion over the earth and everything that was upon the earth, and had dominion over, could rule it, because that's what God wanted to have. He wanted to have someone that could have dominion that he could work through, that had control. Amen. And he gave it to Adam. And we know that when he set Adam and Eve out there, he knew what was going to take place. But you know, he was so gracious, because he put them on free moral agency and allowed them to do what they wanted to do and give them the opportunity. But he knew what was going to take place. So when he allowed that to take place, he knew what was going to take place. And he knew that the fall was going to take place, because he knew that when Eve began to listen to the serpent's sermon, when he began to have fellowship with the serpent, she was going to take the word that was not right. She was going to take a word that was not right. When she had heard the word, and everything was in divine order, everything was in divine motion, and everything was just perfect. And then when she began to hear something, what God had already told them, listen, don't partake of that, because in that is death. That will not take you to anything but death. It will take you exactly out of the place that you're in right now. It would take you right out of the garden. Everything would be in chaos. But all of a sudden, she wanted to hear something that she thought might put her closer, but she didn't realize she was in the place that God wanted her to be. She was in the place that God wanted her to be, and she began to listen to the serpent's word, you know, as he began to speak to her. Oh, you know, if you'll be just like God, if you'll just listen to this, how wonderful it is. And as she began to listen to this, and she bought his lie, and she committed an act. And here was Adam that took part of the same thing and turned his back on God and walked right out of the garden. God put him out. But you know, he loved Eve, but you know, they God knew what was going to take place, but they walked away from the word. They turned their back on him. And you know, it's the same way with you and I. God has given us his word, but you know, it takes the same thing, is that we have to take what God says, whether we like it or not, whether it fits, you know. And you know, here they are, and they go through this, and as one of the brothers was speaking, you know, talking about Cain and Abel, and you know, here they are, God began to speak to them outside the garden, and here it was when they began to talk about what was going to take place. Brother Wade was talking about that. You know, when you're talking about what took place and understanding what their revelation was, when God gave Cain the opportunity, when Abel had a revelation from God of what it was going to require, and he went out and had done exactly what, made the sacrifice, exactly what God had told him to do, and he walked right out there, and no doubt Cain had heard the same message preached to him, had the same understanding. But when God came to and stand in front of Cain and began to speak to him, and you know, direct message directly to Cain, and told him, listen, you don't have to have a revelation, but the one thing that's going to be required of you more than anything is you're going to have obedience. And it's what's required. If you're going to have to obey the word, that's what it takes, full obedience. What Brother Ram say? Full obedience to the word entitles you to the token. It takes a full obedience to the word. And exactly what did he do? He turned it down. He had his opportunity. God's not an Indian giver. God's not a shyster. God's not some trickster, but he gave everybody the opportunity. But somewhere along the way, you're going to turn God down, because as Brother Wade was speaking, you know, God was meant to speak to Cain and made the opportunity, give him the offer, but he's the one that turned it down. And he's the one that walked away from God. But God gave him the opportunity to make his way known. And then after the fall, and we know how all these things took place, and Cain walked away, and man began to seek the face of God. But you know, in the course of time, you know, we know that man became more wicked and all the things that took place in the earth. But you know, there was always, God was always reaching out to man. He was always trying to find a way to bring man back into fellowship. And you know, when the wicked rose up and how the earth got so wicked that God couldn't even stand the earth. But you know what? He brought a message to a man named Noah, and he began to speak to Noah and tell him, listen, I'm going to give you a message to the people. Because, listen, there is a message of mercy and grace to the people. Listen, because you know what? It's not going to stand the way it is right now. It can't stand the way it is right now, but I'm going to tell you there's a way out. Because, listen, there's a judgment coming. There is death coming, but there's a way out. And we see all the way down through history, God always made a way, was always making a call to the people to try to bring them through. But there was only a predestinated group that actually listened to the message, actually came through that. But you know, God always made a call. And you know, he's all the time making all the way through. As the scripture tells us, he always sent the prophets to the people, and he began to speak to them and show him. He began to make himself known through the prophets and through the word, began to speak to the people and began to understand. Man know who he was and show all these things. But you know, they were the ones that turned him down, and only a certain group caught those things that God had spoken to them. But there were so many that walked right past that and did not, because it did not tickle their fancy. It was not in the way they expected it to come. It didn't meet their status quo, but it was still God speaking to them and making himself known to them. And you have to, you know, God brings you to a place where you have to realize it's God speaking to you. It's God's word to you. Because you come to a place, you've got to face it full on, and you've got to come realize, hey, this is God speaking to me. And because, as you know, even when just speaking of the rich young ruler, when he realized who Jesus was and he stood there and he spoke to him, good master, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? See, he knew who Jesus Christ was when he stood there and began to speak to him. And Jesus loved him, and Jesus began to speak to him exactly what he had need of in that moment. He knew what he had to do. There was a requirement made before him, and all he had to do was accept it. But he turned it down. And all the way down through history, God was all the time wanting to make himself known and deliver the people and show himself. But you know, they were the ones that turned him down, but he continued to show himself. And you know, he began to, in the garden, you know, he made the promise that a deliverer would come. There would be one that would crush the serpent's head, that would bring man back into fellowship. And all the way through, we see how all these things took place. But you know, there was a battle that took place. We always know that there was a battle between Satan and God all the way down through history. Satan has always been fighting the plan of God all the way from the beginning. But you know, he came, but in the course of time, we know that Jesus Christ came in the fullness of the word that was spoken of him all the way down through history. We know that he's the word that was spoken of by the prophets, the prophecies that were made. He began to walk and he began to show the people exactly what was prophesied of him and what was going to take place, because he pointed them back to the scripture and he said, search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. So he began to point the people right back to the scripture to show them the day an hour in which they were living.
That's right. That's right.
And he began to show them, and he began to tell them, listen, of all the things that have taken place in the past, when he began to speak of the prophecies that were made in the Old Testament, there were lots of prophecies that nobody understood. But Jesus came and he began through his life and even in his ministry began to point them back to the scriptures in the Old Testament and began to bring them forward into the present day and showing them these are the scriptures that were spoken of and this is the day and hour in which they live. And when he began to speak the word and he began to identify the day in which they were living, then he began to show them what was taking place. There was only a group that would take that. And there was many people that he began to speak to, even when Nicodemus came to him by night, and he said, you know, we know you're a teacher sent from God, because nobody can do these things unless God be with him. He began to identify the scripture. But you know what? Nicodemus didn't take all the word that God, that Jesus had presented to him. Why? Because he understood where he was standing, but you know what? He didn't follow it all the way through. Because if he actually had sold out and actually believed, he should have been on the day of Pentecost. He should have continued all the way through. But see, God made a promise that what was going to take place, that there was a judgment coming. And there was a way to bypass that judgment. There was a way made, and he came into the scripture that to show them how they were going to be the fulfillment of all the scripture that had been spoken of. And he began to teach the disciples and the ones that were following him. He began to teach them the word, and he began to show them all these things that God wanted them to know, what the scripture had spoken of them, or the day in which they would live. Amen. Or what would take place, and not just some idea, but you know, and because, you know, when you look at it, there were so many that didn't believe it because, you know, it didn't come the way they wanted it to. But you know what? It come to the humble believer. Amen. It come to the lowly, the ones that just took it by simple childlike faith. Because it wasn't who they were, it was who God was. It was who God spoke to them. Because when you look at Peter and them being ignorant and unlearned, and you know what? They didn't have anything or that would match anything that would merit any of God's grace. But you know what? God spoke to them. Why? Because he knew that they would receive it. They would believe what God told them. And we know that, you know, in the time as he began to speak these things, and he told them, listen, he said, tarry. When he told them that he was going to die and he rose again, he told them, he said, listen, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Why? Because he told him, he said, listen, he said, I got to go away, but the Comforter will come unto you. And he will teach you these things and what was going to take place in the future. And then all of a sudden, you know, a lot of the confusion and the doubt and all these things that they had to go through in their life, and they didn't understand all these situations and why things took place. But you know what? When the Holy Ghost came, there was a boldness. There was a knowledge that came to them that quickened the word to them, and they understood what was going to take place. They knew what they were going to take place. When Peter walked out there, you know, he knew that, listen, Jesus gave his life for us. Right. Here he is dying because he's fulfilling the scripture. You know what? And if they would do that to him, if he would lay down his life and that's what he would have to face, then, you know, we may have to face the exact same thing. But you know what? They had boldness. They counted all joy when they had to go and face the persecution and the death threats and the bodily harm. They thought it was a great rejoicing because what God had done for them, that was a small price to pay for what God had done for them. And you know, listen, I count it all joy when I fall into diverse temptations, when I fall into all these problems and everything like that. I thank God for that. Why? Because God is making something out of me. It's something that if, just like we're reading here in Job, when he began to speak of Job and, you know, all these things, when he saw that Job was a great man, a godly man, that he would stand these things, that he could stand the pressure and the testing that he went through. And you know, we understand that every child, as Brother Rand was talking about, every child of the faith has to go through that same journey. It still has to walk that same road, has to go through the same trials and tribulations. Why? It's going to bring you into the fullness of Christ, into the measure of Christ. He wants to bring you into the place where you're more like him. And everybody's got to go through that testing and trials. And you know, and he was talking about, Brother Rand was talking about how you're... In the Old Testament, how they had tutors to bring them up and raise them up to be the right kind of son to bring them into the place. And, you know, the father there in the Old Testament, you know, he wanted to find the right kind of tutor. He wanted that would mold that son into the image of the father. What the father would expect, what the father would be proud of, what he would honor, that's the kind of tutor that he just wouldn't get any fly by night or anything like that, but he wanted somebody that could actually mold that son into the right kind of person. And you know, and so it was, you know, they had to bring him up. And you know, there was a lots of times where, you know, it's a lot of difficulty and painful experiences and struggles and heartaches. But you know what? It was bringing that son up to be into the place, because if his father wanted somebody that could step into the place where he was at and do the father's business and be in the same place as his father. And how it is with us. Brother Bram said that we have received the Holy Ghost, the correct tutor, the right kind of tutor in our lives to bring us to this place, because we go through the same thing, because he brings us on this journey. And it comes through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But it brings the tutor in our life to bring us to the same thing, to go through those same journey, the same walk that they had to go through, bring us to the same place that we can be worthy of the life that Jesus lived. It's no longer us living, but he said it's him. Amen. It's no longer I, but Christ living in me. And how we go through these hard times and difficulties and all these things. But, you know, it's God bringing us through. And it's, you know, because he knows what we need and what it's going to take to bring us to the right kind of place. And, you know, all the lessons that we have to go through, we all don't have to face the same thing, but it brings us to the same place. It brings us closer to God. And so, you know, as we work through these things, it's the Holy Ghost. Brother, I said it's the Holy Ghost to raise the church and to nurture it and honor and respect of the Father and his word. He said, what a son grows got now. What a son God's got now. He said, but we've adopted some men and their theology and some of their man-made creeds, and you see where it's put it. He said, you holler about sin and about communists, our churches that are polluted. He said, pot can't call the kettle black. It's exactly right. He said, I know that's old-fashioned preaching, but it'll save you. It'll make you different. Amen. See, they go back and because they don't want to hold to what God brought. Right. You know, he's bringing them to a place. And, you know, as Brother Ram was talking about, you know, you preach on something and you try to show people the truth. And he said, you know, you preach on something. He talked about the way they act and the way they're dressed and all these things. And he said, I come back the next year and it's worse the next year than it was before. And it's just continuing on and on. But, you know, there was a certain group of people that was going to catch that. They were going to go and they were going to understand. That was the word for their day. They saw the light. And, you know, it was for them. It's not for everybody because, you know, you begin to speak to people and you begin to talk to people about the word. And, you know, when people bring things up and you begin to show people, and you begin to just show just a little bit of things in the scripture and you know, you just pull a little bit out and you want to show people things and, you know, and you can just see how, because people, well, they don't mind reading the Bible and they don't mind going to church, but all of a sudden you start bringing things out because as soon as you bring things out that start showing where they're at, and all of a sudden because when you start to show them the truth of the word, and it's like, well, you know, I don't try to condemn people, but I don't mind telling you why I believe what I believe. Amen. And I'm going to tell you why I believe what, you know, and it's not to put anybody down, but I'm going to show you this is what the Bible says, and this is why we believe it. Because, you know, in the scripture, you know, I was listening to these men talk the other day. It was a little thing I think it was on Facebook, but I'm sure. But anyway, you know, they were showing this little clip, and, you know, they were talking about how way back when, even people today, I mean, they understand when you look back, people understand that the Trinitarian doctrine didn't come into like the fourth century, and there was nobody in the early church when in the time of the disciples, in the time of the apostles, nobody believed in that doctrine. And he was talking about, hey, they were Pentecostals. He said, you know, that everybody that wrote anybody that wrote anything in the New Testament was a Pentecostal. They come from Pentecost. They had a Pentecostal experience. And so when they began to write the scripture, they didn't have any of that stuff. When you trace it back, and the one man was a Trinitarian, and he was talking about how when you look at the word, they didn't even have any of that till the fourth century. And it's like, well, how in the world, if that's what Paul wrote, if that's what Peter wrote, if that's what James and Jude and all of them, when he told them, he said, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, then how in the world are you following something that's contrary to the scripture? When you're standing there and knowing that this wasn't anything, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote about the Lord and Savior of our Lord and Savior of Jesus Christ, as the scripture says there, I got that wrong, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Yes, but when he's speaking of that, he's not Trinitarian. So when he began to speak of these things, why? Because he understood what the Godhead was and how it fit together. How there were offices, not people, not persons. But when he began to speak this thing, and there's a Trinitarian scholar standing there saying, yeah, that's not right. But you know what? They get up every single day and, blessed Trinity. We believe this blessed Trinity. Well, you know what? If it was wrong back there and there was no scripture for it, then guess what? Today, there's still no scripture for it.
Amen.
And it's like, you know, and when you know, it's like, listen, when Jesus stood there and he said, baptize them, go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. When he said, go baptize them in the name, I said, well, tell me where the name's at. But there's one scripture in the Bible that gives us a name when it's tied to baptism. There's only one scripture. There's two scriptures in the Bible, and one actually has a name tied to it. When Paul stands out there on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost comes and quickens the word to them, and the drunk men stumble out the door, and Peter stands up with the 11 and goes out there and begins to preach to them that these people aren't junk as you suppose, but this is the fulfillment of Joel. This is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. And he's putting them right there in the Word and showing that this is what was going to take place. I would pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And here they go. And what do they do when he begins to speak to them and tell them of this Scripture? And he begins to bring Jesus Christ in there, that this is the fulfillment of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And they're pricked in their heart. And he said, well, don't you remember what Jesus said? No, he knew exactly what Jesus said because the Holy Ghost had quickened it to him. And he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. And he said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So you know what? If he started that on the day of Pentecost, then guess what? It's still in effect today because he hadn't changed. Or Peter was wrong. But that's interesting because Peter was the one that Jesus gave the keys to. He's the one to put this thing in order.
Amen.
And send him out there. Here, Peter, take this.
Amen.
And it's exactly what he began to do. He began to take the scripture and fulfill that and began to preach that. And it's still the same way today. And it's like, well, how do you know that's the same? You know how I know it's the same? You know how I know it works? Because I have taken the Word. I've taken God at His Word and fulfilled the Word. I went to the water and I got baptized. And you know what? I repented and I followed the prescription. And you know what? I can say that I got the fulfillment of it because God honors His Word. If you take God at His Word, He's got to honor His. And if you're afraid to take God at His Word, then how is He going to honor His Word? But if you take Him at His Word, just simple childlike faith, then He will honor His Word. Said, remember, it says, now we are in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, he said, by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body.
Amen.
He said, by what? He said, that's the earnest of our inheritance.
Amen.
He said, we already got the down payment on it. He said that we know that we've passed from death unto life. He said, we look back and see where we once were and where we are now.
Amen.
He said, there's sin in the world down there, and we've raised above it, setting with Him our King in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
What an evidence.
Amen.
See, God has brought us to the place to bring us beyond all these things.
Amen.
To let us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And you know, when we look at our lives sometimes, you know, it's what the Scripture says. It's not what we think or what we feel or how things look around us, because, you know, there's lots of days when I wake up and I look around and say, I don't feel like I'm sitting in heavenly places.
Amen.
It's like, this just don't look like heavenly places to me.
Right. True, brother. Amen.
But you know, that's part of the plan of God to go through these things and understand God's leading us in the right way, and He's leading us a certain way and wanting us to go through these things. And you know, God brings us the victory. And here we just keep following God on the way that he wants us to go and just continue to walk, because the same one that started you on your journey is going to continue to lead you on your journey and lead you all the way. Because if he's led you to the place where you've gotten baptized and you've gotten born again and you're born into the family of God and you're born into this kingdom, if you're in the kingdom of God and you, and he said, he's made us to sit in heavenly places. And you know what? Then that's our benefit. That's what God has given us. And you just continue to walk in it, because it's the same one that started you on your journey. It'll lead you all the way. It's the same thing. We just continue to walk and just keep walking in the same thing, because the word will begin to open up to us and it begins to express itself. Because as the word, as Brother Brown was talking about, a child being born, when a child is born, you know, because of them being a human and being born, they begin to grow. They begin to express these things. They go through all the same things that children go through and all the things that they have to do, learn to walk and all these things, because it's part of the human experience. And it's the same thing with a son or daughter of God. When you're born into this kingdom, you begin to do the exact same thing, because you begin to express the word that's birthed into you. You begin to go through the same things and show why, because it's not something that you can hide. Because you know, when you're born and you begin to grow and you begin to be a human as a child, you begin to grow up. You know, I tell everybody, you know, I didn't have to be like Dale Roberts. Why? Because his DNA's inside of me, and it just began to express itself. You know, people began to see, hey, we know who you are. You're Dale's boy. Nobody had to guess that. But you know what? Because it was on the inside and it began to express itself. And it's the same way, because as they were there, the ones that they are on in the day, where was it? Antioch. He said they would call them Christians because they began to identify, because their actions, what they done, identified themselves to be Christ-like. And it began to express itself, and they began to see all these expressions of Christ. And it's the same way with you and I. If Christ is on the inside, then you know what? It can't help but express itself. Amen. Why? Because just like a seed that goes into the ground, if it's under the right conditions and it begins to bring forth, then you know what? That same seed, when it becomes a brand to bring forth, then you know what? It can't help but manifest what it is. Amen. You go out there and plant crops in the ground and expect something else to come up. You know, you're out there planting corn and hoeing the ground and getting everything prepped, and you figure out what kind of fertilizer you need and put everything in the ground, put all the seed in there, and it's like, why didn't get any green beans? Well, you know what? It's what goes in the ground. So if the word of God's being sown and that's what brings forth, then that's what it's going to manifest. Because if it's in you, then Christ in you, then that's what it's going to manifest. Your life is going to manifest Jesus Christ. Even in spite of ourselves and our rotten ways, sometimes we still express God. You know, we still battle this old flesh. Well, like Brother Dale always said, you know, it would take more rapture and faith for me than the rest of you. But you know, it takes a lot more to overcome, because there's more of me to overcome. But you know what? I expect that. Amen. But you know, I understand that is what God is. That's the promise that he made. But that's also the battle. That's also the conflict that's made. Amen. That I'm going to have to overcome. Amen. But you know what? He said, greater is he that's in us. Amen. Why? Because we battle this world. The condition that the world is in. All the things. But you know what? Greater is he that's on the inside to overcome this world and all the things that's in it and all the problems that we face, all the troubles. But we see all these things, how they come, all the problems that we face and all these things, just like Job when he was standing there and he was going through all these hard times. But God knew what God was, you know, what he was doing. He was showing Job. Job didn't understand what he was going through and, you know, how he struggled through all these things. And Brother Ram talks about, you know, Job was on those sacred sands, you know, back there going through all that conflict, as Brother Bob was talking about, you know, out there scraping bowls and all those type things, and you know, you couldn't get a breath of fresh air, and you know, because there's nobody around to give you any comfort, you know, only people that come by, you know, it's like, I wish y'all would just go home. Y'all are physicians of no value. Y'all ain't helping me at all. You know, you don't find anybody, and you know, even your wife tell you, you know, if the best thing for you to do is just curse God and die. It's like, well, you know, you're not helping either. But you know, all those things, you know, but he was there on, and Brother Brown said, every son and daughter of God has to go through that same situation. Those same, be on the backside of the desert on those sacred sands where it's just you and God alone. You have to go through all that. And he was talking about all the different ones that had to go through there, Moses and the different ones where they had to go through all of those battles by themselves. And it looked like, well, I don't understand why all these things have happened. But you know, that's what God wanted them to do, amen, to see. And Job understanding the condition that he was in and understanding why he had to face these things. But you know, Brother Branham said, you know, he puts every believer on those sacred sands. He said he has to take every real child there. He gets you on those places where there's no devil can ever come. There's no teacher can explain it away. He gives you something on those sands back there, that an experience that you'll never forget as long as the ages roll on. So there's a situation that you got to go through, but it brings you to a place. It brings you to an experience that you get to a place that nobody can talk you out of it. When you go through all these things and you wonder why things happen the way they do. But you know, God wants us just to follow him and listen. Just follow the leading of the Lord. You know, we don't have to understand, but you know, just follow what God wants us to do. You know, and I can say that, you know, there's been many times in my life where I faced many experiences in my life, and I was like, it takes many years down the road before I get an answer to it. And I've kept these answers. I was telling Brother Richard, and when I was up at Brother Richard's church, I was talking about, you know, I heard a man preach one time about Jesus wasn't God till the River Jordan. And, you know, I carried that for years. I didn't understand that for years. But, you know, there was something that struck me, and I told him, I told the Lord, if this is truth, you're going to have to show it to me because I don't understand it. It just don't make sense. I'm confused. Either this is right and I'm confused, or they're wrong or something. But, you know, it took years, and it's like, well, Lord, I don't understand it. But, you know, I never put that down. I always kept that before the Lord. You know, I want to know. And it's like, well, you know what? The Lord didn't come the next day. He didn't come the next year. But, you know, I carried that for years. Didn't understand it. I had people talk about it. I've heard other people preach on it. And it didn't make any more sense than the first time. But I was telling them, I met a man one day. And it was Brother Dale. And it took me years to carry that, all those years. And I was talking about, but Brother Dale was the first person to sit down and begin to explain that to me. I didn't understand it, but you know, God put somebody in my path. Because you know what? That's what he said. He said he's obligated. And you know, and he said, put somebody behind the pulpit. Well, let me tell you, sometimes your pulpit is a kitchen table. It's wherever the word's coming from. We were sitting at their house at the kitchen table. And he began to speak to me. And it opened up the word to me. Something that I had carried all those years that I didn't understand. And just a few moments is all cleared. And I was like, well, praise God, now I understand. But, you know, the other thing is I didn't feel like I was crazy because, you know, everybody else was like, whoo, look at this great revelation. Yeah. Like, no. But, you know, it's not just going after something, but it's holding something before the Lord and wanting to know what the word is. And said, well, Lord, I don't understand this. Like, well, brother, don't you understand? No, I don't. And like I told him, there's things in the scripture I don't understand. There's things in the message I don't understand. Right, And you know what? I don't mind. I tell you, I don't understand it. But you know, the problem is people, they think they know, they think they understand something, but the problem is they don't. Just like Brother Dale always said, he said, you get people, they won't talk about the seals. They know all about the seals. They can answer all the seals, and they don't know one thing about Daniel's 70 weeks. Well, you know what? Like Brother Dale said, he said, I didn't say it. The prophet said it. And he said, you ought to take it up with him. You can't take it up with me, because I'm going to tell you. The prophet said, if you don't understand this, you're not going to understand the seals. You're not going to understand all these other things. And you say, why is it so important? Because you got to understand the word. And so, you know, when you see it's so important, because you've got to have the right heart. You've got to come to the right place. Lord, I need this. I need help. But if you come to the place, I know it. No, you don't know it. And that's the problem. People can't humble themselves to the place and realize, listen, I need help. And just admit it. I don't know. And you know what? If you, that's the first thing you got to come to is realize I need help. I don't understand. You know, I was looking at some things where Brother Ram's home about. You know, he didn't. There was a lot of things he didn't understand in his life. You know, he would sit there, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand that. You know, I was reading something the other day. I thought it was really good. You know, when that black sister in Memphis. When she was out praying for God, you know, she's like, I'm just like that Shunammite woman. God give me a son, and he's over here dying. And he said, you know, I'm just like her. I said, but where's Elijah? She began to pray for Elijah. Where's your Elijah? Because if I'm this person, then the other one in the scripture is Elijah. He's got to be here somewhere. That's who I need. And you know, and she had faith to believe that. She didn't know where he was going to come from or what was going to take place, but you know what? She had faith to believe. And you know what? She began to pray, as Brother Bram talks about. You know, she began to pray all night because she got to desperation. She began to pray all night for her answer. Amen. And all of a sudden, God didn't speak to Brother Branham. He spoke to her. Amen. Some illiterate washwoman, some auntie in Memphis living in a shack, God spoke to her and showed her what he looked like. She knew exactly what was going to take place, and the Lord told her, you go stand out by the gate. Now here he is, he's up there at the Peabody Hotel getting ready to mail some letters out, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks to him and said, walk. At one time I was reading in the thing, Brother Bram said, he walked for an hour and a half. Just walking. He just kept walking and walking. Where am I going? I don't know. I just keep getting further and further and further away from where I'm supposed to be, what he's thinking. And all of a sudden he walks down through there, and this lady with a man's shirt tied around her head, wet from dew, and all of a sudden, good morning, parson. Good morning, Auntie. And he's walking on. He's like, parson, how'd you know? Oh, the Lord showed me you was coming. The Lord showed me that you were coming. And he's like, where's your briefcase? Where's your satchel? I was like, well, I left it back at the hotel. See, she knew everything. And so she went. So he went in, and because she was telling him that her son was dying, and began to speak to the scripture. Now you know what? It was fulfillment of the word to her. She was walking in a different realm. But you know, Brother Branham's standing there saying, "I don't know, I don't understand." Many times when Brother Branham begins to when he kneels down to pray for that boy, Brother Branham says, "Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I don't know." He said, Lord, I walked all this way. And he said, this is the only thing that I have found in all of this is this lady has stopped me. So he went into her house and she begins to pray. He said, Auntie, pray over her. So he prayed and said, listen, she knew how to pray. She talked to God before. But he said, when I laid my hands on that boy and started praying, said, Lord, I don't understand why this is going on. All I'm doing is following the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm just following the leading. And you said walk, and I'm here. And he said, I don't even know if I'm in the right place. But there's somebody that's sick, and this is what I pray for the sick. But he said, Lord, I pray that you touch this young man. And all of a sudden, he's like, oh, mama, it's getting light in here. Oh, mama, it's getting light in here. And then all of a sudden, you know, he gets up and he's sitting on the side of the bed. And Brother Branham runs out the door and heading for the plane. And the plane's on the ground the whole time until he gets there. Amen. And catches his plane on the way home. Amen. Well, here's the prophet of God. Well, why didn't God speak to Brother Branham and tell him, say, listen, there's a lady, you're going to have to walk 14 and a half miles down here, down on the left. House is yellow, you know, whatever, you know. She's got a red bandana tied around her head. You know, why didn't he tell her the house number? So her house number is such and such. But he didn't give her any of that. God didn't tell him any of that. He walked by faith, just following the leading. Just like when Brother Branham was in Camden, Arkansas that time, and that blind black man was there. He's out there yelling, mercy, mercy. Crowd of people, everybody everywhere trying to get a hold of Brother Branham, trying to touch Brother Branham, trying to get Brother Branham to pray for him. There's sick folks everywhere, all over the place. And he's standing there, and the Holy Spirit speaks to him, and he sees that because of Jim Crow, he was further away, but Brother Branham told the police officers, he said, I'm going over there. And, oh, Brother Branham, we can't do that. This is Jim Crow. He said, the Holy Spirit told me to go over and see that man. And he said, I thought of blind Bartimaeus. Amen. When he saw that man over there, and he said, I began to walk over to that man. And he said, I walked over to that man, and he said, Uncle, what can I do for you? And he stood there and he told him, he said, Parson Branham, he said, my mammy's passed on, but he said, she had your kind of religion. But you know what? She stood at the foot of my bed. Now he was blind, he said, but it was like she stood at the foot of my bed and told me. Said, honey, get up, get dressed, and go to Camden, Arkansas. There's a man by the name of Branham who prays for the sick, and you'll receive your sight. Amen. And that man got up, and him and his wife was all the way in Camden, Arkansas. He said, Parson Branham, he said, I've never met you before. He said, I don't know anything about you. But he said, my mammy never lied to me while she was on the earth. And she's the one that come to me, and she said, I'm here. He said, I'm here because that's what she told me to do. He come all of 200 miles to Camden, Arkansas. And here, Brother Branham, the Holy Spirit leads him over there to that man. Amen. And he begins to speak to him. And he hears this testimony. You know what Brother Branham said? He began to lay his hands on the man and began to pray. And the first thing he says is, Lord, I don't understand this. He said, Lord, but I'm just following the leading of the Holy Spirit. I don't understand why I'm here or what's going on, but you brought him all this way. And why is it all these thousands of people are sick? Why is it coming to this one man? But he lays his hands upon this man and he begins to pray for him, and all of a sudden he receives his sight. And he says later on, he said, I got a letter from that same man, and after he got his sight, he began to preach the gospel. Began to travel and preach the gospel. Why? Because it was the leading of, because God didn't always give Brother Branham the answers, didn't always lead him, but all he done was follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Oh, if we could have a Brother Branham experience, you know, if we could just have a prophet, you know, experience like the prophet had. Well, you know what? There was lots of times that Brother Branham didn't know what to do. How many times did he talk about having hundreds of plane tickets on the table and all kinds of invitations to go everywhere and preach, and everybody's sick and they want you to come? And he said, all I can do is pray. And he said, because if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, if it wasn't for God leading me, he said, you'd become neurotic. And we say, oh, I wish I had an experience like Brother Branham had. Boy, well, you know what? You can. When the Holy Spirit begins to lead you and he begins to guide you down a road and you say, well, Lord, I don't understand. Well, guess what? You're having the same experience Brother Branham had. All the way through the scripture, there's many of them that didn't understand. You know what I mean? How many people would like to be like Ananias was out there? The Holy Spirit spoke to Ananias. Ananias, we got this great man named Saul. He strikes fear in people's hearts. Nobody wants to be in the same town where he's at. But all of a sudden, he said, Ananias, I've got a man, a servant. He's going to do great work for me. I want you to go over there and pray for him, that he can receive his sight. Well, you know, Ananias jumped up and said, praise the Lord, I'll do it. No, he didn't. He's like, you want me to do what? Lord, do you know what kind of person this man is? No, he's had a conversion. He's like, well, you know, might have took a little praying. It's like, Lord, is that really what you want me to do? But you know, it took the moving of the Spirit. But all of a sudden, here comes Ananias to pray for him. Here he sees Saul laying there, blind, all hunched down. And he said, Brother Saul, he said, the Lord sent me to pray for you that you can receive your sight.
Amen.
Because God has a work for you to do. And you know, and then all of a sudden, here he goes, and he begins to speak, and he begins to pray over him, and all of a sudden, Saul raises up, and you know, he goes by the name of Paul, and it continues on. But you know, the first thing that he does is he don't run out and tell everybody what took place. But he took the Scripture, and he spent 3.5 years studying the Scripture. He got right into the Word because there was something that took place, that something was quickened to him that day.
Amen.
And he began to open up, the Scripture began to open up, and then he began to preach the gospel.
Yes, right.
What the Lord had showed him. All of those years that he had studied all of the Old Testament, all those scrolls, knowing every word that the prophets had to say.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, in a short period of time, it began to open up, and he could see Jesus Christ in every part of it. See, if you can't see Christ in heaven, he said, go back and read it again.
Amen.
And here he began to preach all those things. Even when he began to talk about the tabernacle and all the different minute things and all kind of different things, he began to see Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing it was that all those things that he had went through. Now, when he went through all those things and he suffered all these things, lots of times there's no... God didn't give him an answer. You know, how many times did Paul get shipwrecked, beat, stoned?
Yes, that's right.
You look at all the things he went through. The Scripture says, I spent a night and a day in the deep.
Right. Yep.
That's a long time to be out treading water.
Yeah. Right.
But you know, he counted all joy.
Amen.
All of it. Every bit that he went through. Just doing my part. He said, I'm the least in the kingdom. I'm the least of all the saints. And look what he went through.
Amen.
Bold. All the things that he had to face and fight. And then he stood up and said, and there is his testimony. You know, he said, I prayed to God. I had a thorn in my flesh that Satan used to buffet me. And he said, I prayed to God. I kept praying to God that he'd deliver me of this thing. And you know what? God didn't deliver him of it. But he brought him his word. And said, my grace is sufficient. He said, then I glory in my weakness. Because in strength, it's made perfect. See here, as he was talking about, strength is made perfect in weakness. However, he went to go through all these things and realized, you know, I still battle these things, but you know what? God's made me a victor.
Amen.
He's made me strong to overcome these things. And I will glory in my infirmities.
Amen.
All the things that he had to face, all the way he went through. See, all those things that we go through, we wonder why we're in the world, the condition that we're in today. But you know, he all wants all of us to have our time. Brother Bram said, all of us have to have our time on the ash heap. To go through all those times of sitting on the ash heap. And why? Because God brings us closer to him.
Amen.
You know, we don't always understand why we have to go through these things. But we know God brings us to these places. But, you know, he always brings us through.
Amen.
And he says, Brother Ram says, we don't know what will come. He said, what will take place. But we know one thing. that we're on the ash heap, the nation's on the ash heap, the world's on the ash heap. And because the world is on an ash heap, I'm so glad that the Spirit of God can come and we can say, my Redeemer liveth, and at the last day, he'll stand on the earth. Someday, he will come. See, we go to see all these things while the world is in the condition that it's in. But you know what? He's still in control.
Amen.
And he's brought us and put us on this ash heap. But you know what? He will bring us through just like he did Job. We don't know what's going to take place in the future, but God's the one that's in control. He's all the time that he will bring us through these things. That we, because God wants us to have these a certain type of experience that we know God can bring us through. Because if we don't go through these things, we don't know what we can stand. You go through these things and you wonder why you go through these heartaches and troubles and trials and problems. But you don't know what God will bring you through. And when you go back and you look back of all these things that you've been through, then you realize, you know, it's not me. God's brought me through all these things. You know, I was telling Sister Esther, we were talking about Abraham Lincoln, and I was showing her one of my favorite quotes of Brother Abraham Lincoln. And we were eating Sunday, and you know, I was talking about, you know, that's one of my heroes, Abraham Lincoln. I was born on his birthday, and so I always admire him, and Brother Branham had a lot of good things to say about him. So. Our greatest president and a real godly man, but you know, toward the end of his administration, you know, he made a comment. I always loved it. He said, when it comes my time to lay down the reins of power, and he said, you know, I want to conduct my administration. That he said, if I have lost every other friend in the world, he said, I will have one friend, and he's down inside me. And you look at all the things that he went through in his life. He had a lot of contentions, and you know, a lot of people didn't agree with a lot of things that he done or how he handled things. But you know what? People look back and they say, "Wow, what a man of wisdom! What a man of great learning!" And you read his writings, and it's like, man, how amazing this man was. But you go back and look at his beginning. A humble beginning, being born in a log cabin.
Amen.
Reading Pilgrim's Progress, Fox's Book of Martyrs, the Bible.
Yep.
That was his beginning of his education. Right. Reading the Scripture was the foundation of his life. And the other thing was that he had a stepmother that stood there and knew that God had a call on his life, and she wanted him to learn as much as you can. To learn all that you can. And you know, she wanted him to read and study. And because of his great love for learning, you know, he became a lawyer and all those things. But you know, it was something that she saw that it was a gift in his life that God was going to use him. And there was somebody there that stirred up that gift and encouraged him to go that way. When there was nobody else that really was trying to help him, and you know, they just, well, you're just a tall, lanky fella from Kentucky. We don't expect you to maybe become much or do much. But there was somebody that crossed his path and told him, said, listen, God has a work for you to do. And it's like, well, I just want to go this way. I don't know what the future holds or what's going to take place, but I know God is leading me.
Yeah, amen.
And that's the way you and I are. We just take what I want to go God's way.
Uh-huh.
Every day. Whichever way it goes, there's a way for me and I want to follow it.
Amen.
As Job said, he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I'll come forth as gold. Because he said, I have not strayed from his way.
Amen.
The way that God shows me, that's the way I continue to walk. And that's our goal. I'll walk the way God has shows you to walk. Even if you don't see it, you go through dark times, cloudy days. Because if you see the dark clouds and all that, doesn't mean God's not with you.
Nope.
That doesn't mean that God doesn't love you.
Right.
And just because it's sunny and bright and everything looks great, that doesn't mean God's approval.
Amen. Right.
But you know where, if you're a child of God, you know what? If he loves you in the beginning, he ain't changed his mind, because he can't change his mind. Amen. God bless you. Let's all stand. We'll have the musicians come. Amen. Amen. So thankful for the Lord and his ways, his word to us. Yes, thank you. Oh, my goodness. We have a prayer request here from Sister Joyce. Says, we just saw an accident that involved a mother and her six small children. Please pray. They're in Montana. Let's hold these people up. We don't know. But God knows who they are. Now let's just all pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we've got this request from our sister, Lord Jesus. You know the situation this mother and her children are in, Lord Jesus. So we just pray that you go and be with them, Lord. Touch them. We don't know what the situation is, what kind of injuries are involved, Lord Jesus. But we know that you're the great physician, Lord Jesus. Lord, you just come on the scene and touch each one, Lord Jesus. Lord, just strengthen and comfort each one, Lord Jesus. Lord, just take care of the whole scene, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for it, because we know that you are an ever-present God, Lord. Lord, you can be here and anywhere else, all around the world, Lord Jesus. And if we would just pray, Lord, you said if we would ask, Lord, that our request would be made fulfilled, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we just pray for these ones, Lord Jesus, the ones that are traveling, Lord. We just be with them. Lord, we commit it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
Amen. God bless you tonight, Brother Wayne.
Good job. Appreciate him tonight. Just for a quick announcement, thank you all for going this weekend. We sure appreciate it. And thank God for getting us all back safe. Quick announcement. If you stayed at the Baymont, I'm not talking to you. But if you stayed somewhere else, I told you we'd give you $100 a night for each night that you stayed in a motel up there. So you need to see Sister Lisa, Brother Terrence. And I know they're going on vacation pretty quick, but if you stayed somewhere else, we'll reimburse you that amount, $100 per night. So just see them, and we really appreciate all of you going. We had a real good time. Brother Richard called yesterday, and he was still very happy about everything that went on, and we sure appreciate the Lord being with us and all of us getting back safe, and all the musicians and all those fine singers that we had. a lot of you went. We sure appreciate it. So, but yeah, see Sister Lisa, Brother Terrence, $100 a night if you stayed somewhere else beside the Baymont. If you stay in the Baymont, we're not talking to you. So if you didn't, then you'll get $100 a night for each night that you stayed. So all mine's clear. Looking forward to the weekend coming up. Just be a normal, regular weekend. And then we got Brother Keith Reed will be coming the next weekend. And then Brother George Quinn will be coming the next weekend. So we got several of Foreign Brothers coming because we have camp meeting coming up in the first full week in August. And Mom and myself and June and Sister Joyce are going up on Thursday, and we're going to be there Thursday and Friday. So if anybody wants to go, just come and be with us up there, Brother Joe. Please remember Brother Joe Green's family. His sister passed away yesterday, Sister Mary. And we sure loved the whole family, and they were just all part of a fixture in the church for so many years. And, I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, we used to couldn't say we know how you feel, but now we know how you feel.
Amen.
We can enter in and we can feel for the family for the loss of a real close loved one. So let's pray for them that the Lord will give them comfort. Amen. So all minds clear, let's bow our head. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the word you've given us tonight, Lord. As our brother said, we got to go through these things. Character is built this way, Lord. And we pray now, Lord, as Christians, as we go forward, that you will bless each one. Lord, just be with us the furtherment of this week. Be with each one that's sick, Lord, Sister Johnny and the different ones. Lord, that we pray for on a constant basis, but also remember Sister Green, Lord, and Brother Joe's sister, Sister Mary, Lord, Simpson, I believe is her last name, Lord. And just keep that family in prayer, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that also Brother Tim Calhoun losing his brother Caleb. Lord, we knew them for a long time, Lord, and kind of lost touch with Brother Caleb. But, Lord, you took him home the other day, Father, and I pray that you'd be with them. Be with that Calhoun family also, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with each one on the highways on the way home. Give our brother strength, Lord, and bless us as we continue our journey. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.